The Psalms 100. Walter could not be here because he is endeavoring to work for the state of Virginia in the current prison incarceration system. And I feel for him. I do. I've had to work some Sundays, and it ain't much fun. Psalms 100, and we'll just read the whole thing again. Beginning in verse 1. This is a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. As I said last week, that is, as far as I'm concerned, a sermon in and of itself, right there. Five verses, and just chock full to the brim and overflowing with the truth of God. Called it short, sweet, and to the point. I like it. I do. I spoke last week about making a joyful noise because God's people, after he has revealed himself to them, are full of joy. Even when I'm miserable, I can have joy in Christ. It's rare that I have joy in myself. Now, I can be happy, but I can be miserable. But I'm never unhappy with him. Because no matter what state I'm in, he still died for me. He still gave me this life that I now have. And my life has a point, Mason. I may not know what it is all the time, but my life has a point. It's to praise him. Amen. I may not be very good at it, but that's what I'm to do. And that's what I want to do. Where I ended up with was serve the Lord. All are to serve the Lord without exception. All do not. We owe God love. We owe God praise. We owe God honor because he is God. He doesn't get it from us most of the time. I mean, at our best state, we are unprofitable servants. But we are to serve the Lord. Not because he needs anything, and certainly doesn't need anything from me. But he is worthy of our service. And any good service I render, I said this last week, doesn't come from me, it comes from him. Him who works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New. We'll see that here in a little bit. Hopefully. Believers do serve the true and living God because of the true and the living God. The Lord I serve is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is God. Jesus Christ is God. We'll read in the New Testament later on. He's the one in Genesis 1 that made everything. The Word
was God.
He was with God. He was God. He is God. And there was nothing made that was made that wasn't made by Him. And now by Him all things still consist and will consist until He's ready to roll it up and start over. Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. People think that God is static, that this is all there is, but it's not. There is a new heaven and a new earth coming, wherein dwelleth righteousness. This has been promised to us, and just like every other promise in this book, it's going to happen if it hasn't happened already, and this one hasn't happened. His promises, just like His prayers, are yea and amen. If He's promised it, He'll perform it. If He's purposed it, He will bring it to pass. And He doesn't need my help, even though I want to serve Him. I know Him by His grace. I know Him because He gave that to me. And even if I'm, and actually more importantly, and this is kind of sounds a little cocky, I and you are known of Him. That's more important. Just like my service, my faithfulness is not always a good. But if He knows me, I will know Him. There, that's better. I will know Him. But my physical, mental condition does not, is not a requirement, because He knows me. He knows each and every individual one of His people, and they follow Him. We're His sheep. That's the way He describes us. He's the good shepherd and we're the sheep, and we'll go in and out and find pasture. And there's one flock and one shepherd, and that's it. I mean, even if I lose my mind, even if I lose my memory, even if I lose my very sanity, of which sometimes I seem to have a tenuous grasp on at best, as long as He knows me, that's what matters. Now, what do I do to serve my Lord? Well, this was written in the Old Testament, in the times of the law. I don't keep the law. We don't keep the law now. Back in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices that were to be done. Blood was to be shed as a looking forward to the Messiah coming. As a picture, as a type, but actually, and Earl and I talked about this in times past, as a reality. Now, y'all may not believe this, but it's true. I've talked to Jews who speak of the Old Testament sacrifices as not really happening. It didn't really happen. Yeah, it did. But they want to symbolize it. These are stories. No, this was a reality. And I looked at Earl one time. I said, Earl, I says, when I come to think about it, and you read the descriptions in the Old Testament of the sacrifices and the blood that was poured out, this was not what we would call right now a pretty religion. I mean, if you go up and offer a lamb slain and slay a lamb and spill its blood in the First Baptist Church of Beckley, there might be a little uproar. But that's what they did at the tabernacle every day. Earl looked at me and he said, yeah, it was a slaughterhouse. It was a butcher shop. They were actually killing animals because without shedding of blood, there is no remission, even in the type. And God's not going to have, well, just think about what would happen if we actually killed the lamb. They were slain. Oxen were slain. Doves were offered. The scapegoat, one went away, one was killed. Blood was shed in the Old Testament. The blood of animals for the sins of people. Now, we don't have to do that. There has a second testament came, a second covenant, a better covenant, a better covenant with a better testator who died. Jesus Christ died as the offering for sin. His blood was shed. His offering of his blood was accepted by the Father once. Period. And now there remaineth no more sacrifice. There's only one sacrifice. Jesus Christ. And as I read this, I know when they talk about serving the Lord, they were talking also about the law. But I don't have to keep the law. I can't keep it anyway. I don't have to offer the sacrifices. The sacrifice has been offered and accepted by God. I don't serve the Lord by keeping the two commandments. Or the ten. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Christ wound them down to two. I can't do those. And Henry Mahan said they get worried about their neighbor. He says, you get past that first one with loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then we'll talk about the second one. I can't get past the first one. I want to. I'd like to. I would love to be able to. But I can't. Christ gave us a commandment. The commandment Christ gave us was love one another. And by his grace, that I can do. And I don't do that very well. Y'all might know this, but some people I like better than others. Don't tell anybody, okay, y'all? It's the truth. Some people I like better than others. And I suspect that you guys might be the same way. That's the way we are. I was very impressed with Walter's statement last week when he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, where he'd listened to the fellow on the radio talking about it. And the fellow had been talking about one verse, but see, I've always had problems with the Sermon on the Mount myself. I mean, I understand it, but the one that always worried me was, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, now this is not really a secret, but I'll tell you guys anyway. I'm not very good at meekness. Okay? meekness and me don't get along a whole lot. And that always bothered me when I read that. And Walter just laid it right out. This is the truth. He was preaching the law then in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I can do humble because I have been humbled many times over the year. But it doesn't last. That's where the problem with meekness comes in. The humbling doesn't last. And I am pointedly not looking at my wife while I say that. The humbling doesn't last. I've been humbled. I've been humbled by professionals. People who get paid to humble you. They're called drill sergeants in the Army. And they can do it. And in some places, they're called preachers. But the humbling usually doesn't last real long. But in this scripture here, where it talks about serve the Lord, he is talking about the Old Testament scripture. How do believers serve the Lord now? Right now in this day and age? Well, I got it in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. I want to turn there and look at that. Well, it starts in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm reading the wrong thing. It's still good, but I read 1 John 1, 1 John 2. Sorry about that. I'm thinking, what is that? That's really good, but that's not exactly what I wanted. See, I told you I've been humbled before. It won't last, but I... All right. Chapter 2 of 1 John and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. This is how we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. That scared the dickens out of me the first time I read that. I thought I didn't have to keep the law. But that's not what he's talking about. Because you got to keep reading. Because lots of people stop there and they'll preach on the commandments. The Ten Commandments. That's not what he's talking about. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is pretty serious. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. Didn't say hate the world. Didn't say hate the system. If you hate your brother in Christ. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. If you hate the people of Christ, you're in darkness. That means if you're in darkness, you're not in the light. He's in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. See, life without God has no point. There is no life without God. That didn't get on the tape the first time, so I had to say it again. I run unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's what I care. Then turn over, for me, one page, John 3, 1 John 3 and verse 23 for the summation. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. All right. What do I do? How do I serve God? Believe Christ. Trust me. Trust me in this. That's a full-time job. And we're not very good at it. I know I'm not. And other people have confessed to me that they're not. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. Now, what happens when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you love one another? Some things are going to happen. You will not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You'll come here where the Word of God is trying, we're trying to preach the Word of God. You'll come to learn because you want to learn. You'll come to hear because you want to hear. That sort of leads into the next thing. Serve the Lord with gladness. If it's a burden for you to come here, you might as well stay home. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying it's not hard to get here. That's not the thing. But if you get up and you say, I don't want to go. I just want... Now, you know, you kids don't have no say. I'm sorry. It's just the way it works. Trust me, I was a kid for a while. But if you don't want to be here, you might as well not be here. I'll be that honest with you. Most preachers won't, because they want you there. And if you don't come, they'll take your wallet in your place. Yeah. I guarantee it. But they like them numbers up on that board up there. It says we had 100 last week. Ooh, this week we got 125. The church we used to go to was set back there with a clicker as you come in. He'd shake your hand, click, click. He's counting people. Which is better than standing there going like this, I guess, you know. He had a little hand, a little number clicker. Because, see, that stuff's important. No, it's not important. It's important that you serve the Lord with gladness. It's not a burden to serve God. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a blessing to serve God. And I'm not talking about me coming up here and talking. It's me coming up here and sitting down and listening to Walter. Me just gathering with you people, because this is where I want to be. I like you guys. You guys know the Christ I know. Most people don't. Most people don't want to hear about the Christ that I know. Some of them even lament, I'm going to keep throwing this story up to Walter, he ain't even here today, about having to be up on the second floor and couldn't be down where the Spirit was. He was recording the stuff, running the speakers and recording the messages, but he couldn't be down where the Spirit of God was, because he couldn't make it up to the second floor. No, what it was he couldn't get involved in a party. See? That's not serving the Lord with gladness and being upset because you missed out on all the fun. Serving the Lord with gladness is being, I was happy when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me. I am glad to be here every Sunday morning. And I'm glad to meet up with you whenever we do outside of Sunday morning, which is not often enough. My gladness in serving Him is in Him. It's not because of just being around people I like, even though I do like Him. My gladness comes when we gather here and I get to sit down and hear Walter proclaim the Word of God as it is in Jesus Christ. My heart rejoices. My mind is energized. I like it. Worshiping God is a service of God. And it is to be done in gladness, not out of duty, although there is a duty. Not out of seriousness, although this is serious. There are few people that I've met in other places. See, some of them seem happy to come to church. And they talk about the choir and how beautifully they sang. Or they talk about the children's programs and what wonderful macaroni pictures they made in Sunday school. And they talk about this and they talk about that. And they will talk about everything except Jesus Christ. And when they do talk about Jesus Christ, it's wrong. It's a totally different Christ. That's okay, because it's a totally different gospel they got. That's the last part of Psalm 100. His truth endureth forever. I want to serve my Lord Jesus Christ. I would love to serve my Lord Jesus Christ better than what I do. I'm not very good at it, but I love to do it. But you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ when you gather in His name. That's very important. There's lots of gatherings, but they're usually not in His name. To attempt to worship and learn of Him. Which leads to the next thing. Come before His presence with singing. Now the cool thing about it is not the singing, although I'm very happy with the singing. I like singing. I love singing. I'll do it in the shower. And I don't know how well it sounds, but it sounds good to me because I get the echo. But I don't know any other place where what it tells you here in this part of the scripture, I mean, we are, this is how glad we're supposed to be. We're supposed to come singing, and we are supposed to sing praises unto Him. Not shake hands with mother again. Praises to God. What this psalmist was writing here, though, where it says, we are to come before His presence. And I love the way he wrote this. because I find it striking that the psalmist didn't say, come to the tabernacle with singing. Come to the house of God with singing. We are to come to his presence. That's a blessing the world doesn't have. They don't know his presence. There are some who are to come to the presence of God. They serve with gladness and sing in his very presence. What an honor, what a glory, and what a truth that is. Especially when you put it with this, where Jesus Christ told them, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It doesn't have to be this place, although it is this place. And I'm not trying to be spooky or spiritual or anything, because this is real to me. I don't quite grasp it probably the way I should, because I should be a lot more scared than I am. But Jesus Christ is right here with us. Amen. In this place. Because I am persuaded that this assembly is assembled in his name. It's not assembled in my name. It's not assembled in Walter's name. It's not even assembled in memorial to Earl. This place comes together, assembles in his name, and he is here. That's true, whether we believe it or realize it or not. It's true. Christ promised it. Now, the really cool thing is, it does say where two or three are gathered in my name. This counts when you meet together off on the side. And you talk about Christ, he's present. People are always wanting other people to go to God. Seek the Lord. That's true. But they want you to go find God. The Bible has it different. God finds his people. God joins himself with his people. Christ has promised this to us and performed his promise. The world wants to start with man going to God. The Bible starts with God coming to man. Because we can't go anywhere. See, that was part of my law work. I found out I had nowhere to go. And it didn't matter if I had anywhere to go, I couldn't get there. He had to come to me. And by his mercy and by his grace, he did come to me. Just as he comes. See, it's I got into several fruitless discussions with Arminians in Arminian churches that I used to go to. They have the good shepherd of God, Jesus Christ. They have the good shepherd sitting down outside his fence, whistling for his sheep to come to him. That's it. If you take the first step, he'll meet you. You come on down, you pray the prayer, he'll save you. You do this, he'll do that. You do this, he'll do that. Whatever it is. This book has the good shepherd going out, finding his sheep, which were lost and didn't know where they were, picking them up, putting them on his shoulder, and he carries them back to the fold. He puts them in the fold. That's the kind of shepherd I need. That's the only kind of shepherd that could help me. But it's not the shepherd of this world teaches. See, that's not gathering in his name, Mason. That's gathering in somebody else's name. Anybody else's name. He comes to us. We who are in him, when we gather in his name, are blessed by his presence, whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not. Because he's promised he'll perform it, whether you know it or not. He's promised it, he'll perform it. I've purposed it, I'll do it. That goes for anything he purposed. And everything he purposed. Because he is with us here today in this assembly. That's the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to his house. We don't have to go to his tabernacle. He comes to us. We just gather here because it's convenient. We're the church. This is just the building. We are the assembly of God. And that's it. And when we gather in his name, he's present. Come before his presence with singing. He is always with his people. And his spirit is in his people. I've been going a while, haven't I? I think. Yeah, I'll do this next one. Because I want to. Know ye the Lord. That he is God. First of all, this is not a request. This is not a suggestion. This is a flat statement. But in being a flat statement, it is also extremely particular. It is extremely specific. He doesn't say, know everybody the Lord. He says, know ye. Know ye. And everything he said before this comes before this statement. Let me get to the right page. Make those that make a joyful noise, those that serve the Lord with gladness, those that come into his presence with singing, ye know the Lord. Everybody doesn't know the Lord. I've been talking about that. The part they don't like most of all is that what I want to say is not everybody gets to know the Lord. It's a gift given by God to his chosen people, which he chose from before the foundation of the world. Everybody does not come to know the Lord in this life. Now, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's going to happen. But for some, it's not going to happen. For most, it's not going to happen in this life. Those he has chosen from before the foundation of the world get to serve him with gladness, are allowed to come into his presence with singing, and they praise him. And they know him. He knew them first, He knew them before they were ever born, before the world ever was, before the world was ever made, before the foundation of the world was ever laid. He knew them. But the blessing is, by His grace, we get to know Him. He gives that to us. And we get to bow to Him in this life and live and reign with Him in the next life. I don't know much about immortality other than I get it because it's been given to me. I know this mortal is going to have to put on immortality. I have no idea what that entails or how it's going to work out, other than it's going to work out really good. Because I know Him. Because He has revealed Himself to me. That's why I know Him. But I do know Him. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things are so. These things are true. Jesus Christ's salvation is real. If I go back to just a month or two before I think the Lord converted me, Mason, there's never in a million years you could have told me that I would be standing right here, right now, or sitting right there even. Because I didn't like to go to church. And it would have been better for me not to have been in church, but my mother and I had a disagreement on that. Mothers will do that to you. Now, if your mother's telling you to come here, she's right. I was changed by God. I was given life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I was granted the revelation of Jesus Christ in this book. And from the mouths of people who knew a little bit of the truth. That know ye the Lord, guess what? First thing he said, He is God. You shouldn't have to tell people that, Mason. You shouldn't have to tell people, know ye the Lord, He is God. But they don't know it. And they don't know it even after you tell it to them. And even converted, I might be dumb enough to forget. That's the first thing that you learn about the Lord. He's God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, how are they going to fear Him if they don't know Him? They don't. That's the answer. They don't. You can go around and listen to people talk, you know. The old man upstairs, or somebody up there likes me. No, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And David was envious when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. So evidently the wicked can prosper, even though religion says they don't. They thought if people had money, God was blessing them. No, God was cursing them. Actually, they already were cursed. The Lord is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, creator of all things, who has declared the end from the beginning. He declared the end, and everything in the middle too. And everything is working out exactly as he has planned, purposed, and does. He is God. And once you, once you get a hold of that concept, once that concept gets a hold of you, once God gets a hold of you, that's when the fear comes in. Christ told him, he said, you don't fear people who can just kill your body. Fear him who's able to kill a body and cast a soul into hell. They don't get it. That's why that disappointing statement by Paul, and it's actually a perfect picture of this world, is those words that he wrote, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Because if God doesn't scare you, if the Lord doesn't scare you, you don't know him. That's it. You don't know him. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, Mason. I've been there. It scared the bejesus out of me. I'm sorry, I heard somebody say that the other day, and I thought, that's a slight. No. Jesus Christ's presence had come to me. And I was in fear. I did fear. But amazing grace has now my fears relieved. There's some truth in them old songs. That the Lord, he is God. You know, if there's only one thing to know about that, that's it. If there's only one thing to know about the Lord, know that he's God. He's not the baby Jesus anymore. They're already getting ready to put out Christmas stuff. They put out Halloween stuff in September. As soon as Halloween's over, they'll throw up Thanksgiving. Before Thanksgiving's over, Christmas stuff will be up. Because I'm going to tell you something, the baby Jesus is good business. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. The only way to know the Lord is to know that he is God. He is God from the beginning, in the present, and ever will be. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We are not. Other than being in him from before the foundation of the world. He is God. That's it. That's the beginning. Know ye the Lord. He is God. And therefore, because of that, because of him, because of his mercy, his grace, his love, his life, then you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Then you can serve the Lord with gladness, and you can come before his presence with singing. Because we have been given by God to know him. John 17 says it. This is eternal life. Not that you live forever and go to heaven. Not that everything wonderful happens to you and you have all kinds of health and wealth and everything else, as some gospel, so-called gospel preachers preach. This is life eternal, that you know that they know Him and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. This is our privilege, our honor. And not only that, we get to talk about Him with each other, with the world if they'll hear it, or with individuals in the world if they'll have it. I understand what Earl meant when he, you know, it took me a while to get there, let's put it that way. He would ask people if you have an interest in Christ. Because if you don't have an interest, there ain't no sense in talking to him. And if you've got an interest in knowing something about Christ, he may have already done something for you. And if he has done something for you, you'll have an interest. I mean, the last two people I talked to that really had a good interest in it was Debbie and Walter. Since then, it's been kind of downhill. Well, no, it hasn't. Just so you know, I ain't in the soul winning business. Oh, excuse me, I am not in the soul winning business. I'm not in the numbering business. And I can speak for Walter on this. I know he's not either. Now, it's nice when the place is full. We're happy when the place is full, as long as we're gathered to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is God. Because we want you to know, ye the Lord. He is God. Jesus Christ is God. He's the Creator and the Sustainer. And the provider and the giver of life. The Son quickens whom He wills, just like the Father. Anytime Jesus Christ put forth His divinity before an audience, they took up stones to stone Him. Now, they never got the job done because He's still God. But if they're willing to stone the Lord of glory, incarnate in human flesh, speaking the perfect truth of God, don't be surprised if somebody might want to throw rocks at you. Because we're not perfect. It's just the way it is. The world hates the light and loves darkness. And we have been translated into His marvelous light. And guess what? They hate us too. Well, if they find out what you believe, or if they find out who you believe. You can believe the baby Jesus all day long. Nobody will care. But if you believe the Christ of this Bible and you talk about Him, people will care. They won't like it, but they'll care. They'll separate themselves from you. And if they could get away with it, they'd throw rocks. Came close to it once myself. It is amazing to me now how much the hatred there is of God. It still amazes me because I can't understand it anymore. I mean, even in my unconverted, unregenerate state, I was pretty much indifferent to God. I was more secular than religious. But the hatred of religious people for the truth of God knows no bounds. Christ said, They hated me before they hated you. They hated him without a cause. Now me, they might have a cause. With him, there wasn't one. He was perfect. He spoke the truth perfectly, which I can't do. But know ye the Lord, that he is God. Serve him with gladness. Make a joyful noise to him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this place, this time. But most of all, thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and perfectly lived his life on this earth, keeping the law perfectly, loving the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and becoming the perfect sacrifice for sin. His blood was shed for his people, and by his stripes many were healed. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.